On the final day of the Davos World Economic Forum, the discussion continues to revolve around Brexit and the state of globalisation. Today, speakers included Chancellor Philip Hammond and German Finance Minister Wolfgang Schäuble. I'm now going to speak to Share Radio presenter and Davos correspondent Steve Clark to round up what's happened this week. So good afternoon, Steve.
How are you, Ed? Greetings from a sunny Davos.
Good. I'm glad you're enjoying the sun. It's not too bad here in London either. Let's start with Philip Hammond, because he, I think, has told Davos today that Theresa May's Brexit speech on Tuesday was an important step forward. What else did he have to say?
I think really Philip Hammond has been sort of setting out a kind of soft Brexit agenda, sort of stressing how the UK, you know, wants to stay friends with Europe, wants to stay part of even some European institutions, or don't specify which ones. I mean, not actually the single market itself, but still has a very good relationship with Europe, and really kind of made a bit of a plea to Europe, which is sort of, you know, help us do this. You know, don't make it a bitter divorce. It's in both our interests to really scope this out together, and that, you know, we don't injure our economies on either side in the process. And he got a bit of support actually from the rather tough German finance minister Wolfgang Schäuble, and they shared a platform at one point today, and Schäuble said, and I quote, he said, "We have to manage this decision with this effect to the British people. We have to manage it the best way to minimize or to avoid any damage for the UK as well as Europe." And that came from Schäuble himself, who, although he's a tough guy, reiterated something I've heard him say before. He said on the stage here, he said, "Well, the first reaction of me when I heard the Brexit decision was that I cried." Then he said, "Well, the second reaction was that it's a wake-up call for Europe, and that's what we've got to do."
Interesting. I mean, obviously, I imagine Brexit's been a big topic of conversation all week. What's your general view? And in particular, actually, looking at Europeans, are they trying to be as constructive about Brexit as perhaps Wolfgang Schäuble was in his comments today?
Yeah, well, it depends which European. Mark Rutte, the Netherlands Prime Minister here yesterday, he said he was quite clear about it. He said the UK have chosen to effectively close its borders or reduce immigration. And he said the British are going to pay a really high price for that because it's going to cost their economy to keep their borders up. So for him, it was a total trade-off. If you want control, complete control over immigration, you know, you're going to be a lesser member, if you like, of the global trading community. There's no doubt Brexit has been a topic here, and it has been linked to the election of Donald Trump in the UK as two manifestations of popular discontent. But I think the interesting thing that actually Philip Hammond did this morning, he said very clearly, he said, look, you shouldn't link the Brexit vote to Donald Trump's election, because we, the British government, you know, we're not protectionist. We're not anti-free trade. We don't want to put up barriers. In fact, quite the reverse. And he said this, and of course, he was echoing Theresa May's speech. You know, we want more free trade. We want to trade more widely in the world. And he kind of said pretty strongly, you know, don't put us in the Donald Trump basket. Our motivations are really quite different.
But nonetheless, people see Brexit, rightly or wrongly, as a pushback against globalisation. Do the business elites in Davos accept that maybe globalisation at least needs to change a bit to regain popular support?
I would say they do, actually. It has been a setback to globalisation, and we had pleas this week from the Chinese president, from Joe Biden, the US outgoing vice president, to not kind of throw globalization out of the window altogether. But I think there's been a general acceptance that a lot of people have been cut out by globalization, and that they're really resentful of it. I think an important point that's been made here by several people, though, is that actually what's been costing jobs, or at least good jobs, really isn't trade or trade barriers or trade wars between countries. It's really been technology. It's the growth of technology that is shredding jobs for the middle classes in particular. Whole classes of things like administrators, secretaries, manufacturing jobs that have gone because they've just been automated. And I think the CEOs here are aware of this because they're the ones doing it. They know it's a problem. They know that, you know, they're sort of decreasing the incomes of their own employees. But they're under pressure, too, to deliver profits. So they're not quite sure what to do about it.
Was there also much discussion about the relationship between the US and China, in particular that maybe we're at a bit of a turning point as more wealth and more influence moves from the US to China?
Yes, the presence here for the first time of a Chinese president, Mr. Xi, stepping up onto the stage in a very statesmanlike manner and of all people with this rather sort of moderate, reasonable message of globalization and no trade wars, that really made a big ripple here. And I think an observation that's been made repeatedly is, of course, the contrast between a free trading Chinese communist yes. president and a protectionist U.S. President who's about to take office. And more than one commentator here has said, you know, what's going on here? Why is the U.S. turning its back on free trade, on globalization, when this has been the bedrock of the American economic miracle, if you like, since World War II? America's done very, very well out of globalization of free trade. And the point vis-a-vis China is, for example, you have Donald Trump saying he doesn't like the Trans-Pacific Pact on trade. He's pledged to throwing that out of the window. And people have pointed out, well, OK, you can throw it out of the window. It is, I think, officially dead in the water now, or as good as. That doesn't mean nothing is going to happen, because China is already coming in there with its own pact for Asia. And it means the trading rules for that bloc will now be written not by the US, but by China. And this is US influence, if you like, on the retreat.
Steve, thanks very much for speaking to us today about Davos and indeed all week on Share Radio. Been fascinating to hear your views. You've been listening to Davos correspondent Steve Clark telling us what's been happening at the World Economic Forum.